Chapter 20, The Unsettling Home. Loke and Slate finally arrived at Vastamon and headed to the lodge in the village. Before they could ask for a room, Lovelace saw them both and waved at them excitedly.
"Hello, Slate and Loke. What makes you both come by here? Do you need more jobs?"
Loke and Slate walked towards Lovelace. Slate's heart pounded when he saw her. Slate was about to speak, but Loke interrupted him.
"We don't need any jobs at the moment. We have somewhere else to be."
Slate glared at Loke. Loke looked around for Hufnor, and Lovelace understood. So she quickly added,
"Oh, I see. You're looking for that family. I'm happy to tell you they left shortly after you did. Your medicine helped Aloran greatly. She was well enough to travel."
Slate looked at Lovelace with concern. "What do you mean by well enough?
Is she not fully healed?"
Lovelace sighed.
"I'm sorry. I don't think she will ever be fully healthy again."
Lovelace continued.
"She is walking and talking, but weak. However, she is alive, which wouldn't have been the case if you both hadn't helped."
Lovelace smiled at Loke and said, "You did a good thing, Loke. You both saved her life."
Slate asked, "Do you know where they went?"
Lovelace nodded.
"Yes.
She told me they would return to their home."
Slate's heart pounded as he became agitated. "What? I told them not to go back home. It's not safe."
Lovelace's face lost colour as she panicked.
"I know, but Alona isn't fully herself. I'd advise them to stay somewhere familiar, so she would be more comfortable and less anxious."
Slate sighed. "Thank you. Anyway, we should go." As Slate and Loke turned to leave, Lovelace smiled. The sight of a smile caused Slate's heart to race once again.
Lovelace's soft voice filled Slate's ears as she said, "Please visit when you come to town next. I would like to see both of you. Besides, I may have some interesting jobs for you."
Slate returned with a smile.
"Of course.
Thank you for all your help." With that, they headed back to Hufnor and Aloran's hut. They got to the hut where Hufnor and his family were staying. The minute they jumped off stage, Lily came running excitedly, embracing him.
"Loke and Slate are here! Loke and Slate are here!"
Lily attempted to grab the gear, but Loke took it first.
"No, thank you, Lily. I can carry it myself."
Lily asked, "Please, can I carry something?" Loke smiled, handed her a water bottle. The little girl smiled and returned to hut, holding the bottle. Hufnor opened the door and smiled and invited them in.
"Come in. Aloran just made food. There's more than enough for you both, my friends."
Loke and Slate smiled and spoke simultaneously.
"How is she?"
As they walked through the door, Hufnor said, with an ear-to-ear smile,
"Well, you can see for yourself."
Aloran walked into the room, but walked slowly than usual, looking a bit more fragile, but alive. Slate rushed to Aloran, hugged her, grabbed her by the shoulders, looked at her and asked,
"How are you feeling?"
Aloran replied,
"I'm feeling fine. Well, weak, but fine. Thank you."
Aloran looked at Loke, who was next to Slate.
"I am alive because of you both, and I'm very grateful."
Lily came in, bouncing with happiness.
"Loke, Loke, can I show you my drawings that I made?"
Loke nodded and walked into the room and sat next to the fire. Loke felt strange and uncomfortable, finding it hard to relax as he had been on the road for so long. But then Lily came over and showed him the drawing. He felt more at ease and smiled. The drawing was a young boy who looked like him, an older man who looked like Slate with a sword, and the monster dead beside them. Lily continued to show Loke her other drawings. In the meantime, Slate, Hufnor and Aloran sat in the kitchen, and Slate asked,
"When you left the town, have you seen anything strange since?"
Aloran and Hufnor both shook their heads. Loke overheard them talking and said to Lee,
"I will return in a few minutes. Please draw me a picture of something."
Lily cheered, "Yes," with a smile. Loke walked towards them and sat next to Slate.
"So, you sure you didn't notice anyone?"
Hufnor and Aloran both shook their heads. Loke looked at Slate, and Slate asked again,
"Did you hear anyone talk about Loke or myself before the attack or after?"
Aloran said,
No, we didn't even know you were in town. Never mind that you had a boy with you. Why are you asking?
Slate thought briefly before replying. Well, the person who poisoned you said your family wasn't the target. Nor was I. So, the only person left was Loke. But he is just a boy. Looking at Loke, Slate continued. No offence, Loke. Do you have any idea why someone would be after you?
Loke replied, No, I don't. We lived in a quiet village. My mother and father kept to themselves, except for a few people. And those people were like family. I only knew a few people, so I can't see why I was a target.
Slate sighed. Maybe they were after you because of me. But I don't know who or why, as I angered many people. I was only around the boy for a short time.
Loke spoke, Can we return to my hometown? Perhaps we'll cover more clues there. After all that's happened, I'm convinced the attack wasn't accidental.
Slate shook his head, responding angrily. No, we're not returning to Curtan. It's not safe. We'll find another way.
Loke countered. We'll be okay. We battled countless monsters already. If there's any lingering danger, we can handle it. I must understand why my village was attacked and why my parents were killed. Please let us go.
Slate rose to his feet, eyes boring into Loke as he shouted, I said, no, it's not safe. We'll find another way and that's final.
Loke, about to retaliate, was interrupted by Lily's heartrending cries. Both Slate and Loke turned their attention to the stressed child. With a resigned exhale, Loke conceded. All right, Slate, have it your way. And he approached Lily, trying to comfort her.
Slate's gaze shifted to Hufnor, searching for understanding. Hufnor remarked, The boy has a point. You're likely safe enough to visit his home. You could discover more about the attack if the threats are gone. And Loke's suspicion is correct. Why won't you consider Curtan?
Slate sighed heavily. Curtan is now a haunting reminder of all Loke once held dear. He's still so young. And I don't fully believe he's come to terms with his parents' death. Seeing Curtan in his current state might traumatise him further. He's not ready. We'll search elsewhere for now. If we find nothing, I might reconsider returning to Curtan when he's older and more prepared. Only when I deem it right. Not just when he feels ready. Unless, Slate paused, gathering his thoughts. He truly comprehends the weight we might witness. I fear the sight of Curtan in his present state might be too devastating. Hufnor nodded, understanding the depth of Slate's concern. There was silence for a few minutes. Aloran called Lily and Loke over, and they sat down at dinner, eating and laughing and enjoying each other's company. Aloran eventually put her daughter to bed and said, Loke, I have your bed ready whenever you want to sleep. Loke said, Thank you. I will go to sleep in a while. Together they talked and laughed into the night. In the morning, Loke and Slate gathered their gear, said their goodbyes to the family, and headed to the town called Labyrinth. It took about 2 days to get there. It was a small town like Curtan. The people were very welcoming to strangers. They walked to a lodge. At the reception, the man asked grumpily, What do you want? Slate smirked, Is that how you treat an old friend? A short man, barely reaching 5 feet in height, pushed his round glasses on his nose, squinting through them. The man looked up and smiled. Oh, it's you, Slate. I apologise for my tone. I just had little kids playing tricks on me all day, so I'm not in the best form. He continued. Anyway, what made you come here? Is it to see an old friend?
Not exactly. I want to stay here for a while with Loke.
Slate turned to look at Loke.
Oh, the man said. I didn't know you had a child.
Slate corrected him. No, he isn't mine. But I look after him. So, I wonder if you can find us a place to stay. I will pay as soon as I earn more coins.
The man waved his hand.
Yes, of course. I'll find you the finest place, which is yours for free if you need it.
No, there's no need.
Slate felt a bit uncomfortable.
The man seemed adamant. I insist. That is it.
Slate replied, "Thanks." The man directed them to where they would live. It was like a mini cottage. Upon entering the house, they were greeted by a cozy sitting area with soft cushions and a plush couch that faced a small fireplace. The fireplace was surrounded by stones and logs, giving the room a warm and inviting feel. The sitting area was connected by a small kitchen with wooden dining tables, chairs, and the essential kitchenware needed to prepare meals. The two bedrooms were at the far end of the cottage, separated by a small hallway. Each bedroom had a comfortable bed with a soft pillow and blanket, a wardrobe of clothes, and a window that allowed natural light to filter in. Luke ran, jumped on his bed, and sighed with relief that he finally would sleep on his comfortable bed for a long time, as opposed to the uncomfortable ground that always had a foul smell because of sage. Slate walked into a room and smiled when he saw Luke's happiness. Then Slate went to his room to wash up, but kept looking around him and thinking restlessly about where he would go next. But then he remembered this was his new home for now.
Slate felt lost and out of place as he unpacked his belongings and placed them in a room that was his for the first time in years.
It felt bizarre and unnerving to him. Slate looked outside through the window into the forest. All he wanted to do was pack up his things and live on the road again. But then he thought about Luke and sighed. He grunted to himself and finished unpacking. Once he finished unpacking the gear, Luke came rushing in, excited. "How do you like your room?" Slate replied, "It is okay." Luke grinned. "Well, sleeping next to Sage on the ground isn't better. He stinks after all." Slate let out a little chuckle as he spoke. "I got quite used to that. This place feels unusual to me." Luke said in a sadder voice, "Oh, really? But Slate interrupted before Luke could finish his sentence, knowing he would apologise and probably even suggest they leave. "Never mind, Luke. I know that I will love this place in time. So, let's go and see what this town offers us." Slate grabbed his sword and put it on his back. Luke was ready to leave, but saw Slate wearing his sword and said, "Do you think you will need that anymore?" Slate turned and looked at the sword. Slate's heart sank. He let out a deep sigh. "You make a valid point, Luke," Slate admitted. "I've worn this sword out of habit. While it may no longer serve a practical purpose, it holds a special significance for me. It's a source of comfort and connection to my past. I'll continue to carry it." Luke nodded with a smile. They left the room to look around the town. The town was lively, the people were happy, and there was no tension. Luke's belly rumbled, and he looked at Slate and smiled, and made a small laugh. "I suppose we know where we are going next." They walked around the stall to see any tasty food that caught their eyes. Slate kept looking for food that he was familiar with, but there was so much variety of food and different food combinations that he needed help finding something to eat. Eventually, Luke smelled something very familiar, like the bread that Margaret, the baker from Cruitan, used to make. Luke started to run towards the smell and eventually reached the stall, where there was a female baker with her back turned. Luke said, "Excuse me," in a cheery tone. The baker turned around. Luke's heart sank when he saw the woman wasn't Margaret. The woman asked cheerfully, "Is there anything I can get you?" Luke didn't respond and kept looking at the ground, lost for words. Slate followed and saw Luke and the lady looking concerned. "Yes, can you please get us 2 cups of soup and a loaf of bread?" The woman looked at Slate. "No problem," she said. Slate stood next to Luke and grabbed him by the side. "Are you okay?" Luke looked at Slate with a fake smile. "Yes, I am fine. I just thought she was someone I recognised." The woman came back with the food and they walked away. Luke kept looking around the place. The vibrant town made him happy and sad, bringing back memories of his hometown before the troubles happened. Slate could read Luke's mood and he asked, "How do you feel about this town so far?"
Loke replied, I like it so far. It feels strange and familiar at the same time. I keep getting the feeling that I know these people, however. They are strangers to us. It is so strange. I am sure how I feel, but I already feel like this place is my home, and I can't wait to get to know the people. Loke waited a second and then asked, What about you, Slate? Slate replied, I feel the same way. It was a white lie, because what was familiar to Slate was being on the road with Sage, fighting creatures and visiting Hoover and Lauren. And now spending time with Loke, everything else felt foreign and strange. They kept looking through the shops and talking to people briefly, until Slate retreated to his room, unable to bear talking to another person. Loke stayed in the town and kept looking around. Loke returned to Slate's room. Sitting on Slate's bed, Loke said, I feel comfortable with the town. It seems closer to my hometown than the other villages we visited. Do you think we'll stay here, Slate, for a while anyway? Slate looked at Loke and saw how happy and relaxed he was. Slate nodded, I knew you would feel like that. That is why I picked this place. I will like this place in time. I need to get used to it, but of course, we'll stay here as long as you like. As they both looked outside the window into the vibrant town, Slate started to think again about why Loke was attacked. Will they come and find Loke again to finish the job? Slate then looked at Loke. He would protect him at all costs. Loke then looked back at Slate and hugged him impulsively as he stared at the window. Slate then began to feel a sense of calm and belonging wash over him. Slate realised he had found a new home, not just in this town, but with Loke. The road has been his life for so long, but now he saw more to life than just travelling and seeking adventure. He had found a new purpose in looking after Loke. Slate spoke to Loke with a small smile and said, I think we can make a life here, at least for a while. Loke beamed with happiness and nodded in agreement as they stared out of the window, looking at the town.